trouble in time.
You know, it has been a troubling time for many, many people, and everybody's always hoping that things will eventually get better. At least that's our hope, and we're hoping that our guest, Robert Barr, who's the chief planner for the city and borough of Juneau's Emergency Operations Center, and Allison Gottslick, who is a public health nurse and nurse manager for the State Division of Public Health, will give us some cause for some optimism today. And I guess, Robert, I'm going to begin with you because you've been tracking these things. Have you, at this point, got any word on next month's vaccine shipment?
You know, Allie and I were talking about this just this morning. So we have. We are anticipating around 1,500 new first doses allocated to Juneau in February. We're going to be administering about 1,000 of those through another point of dispensing clinic. It's kind of just a mass event where we host that at Centennial Hall and have folks sign up online. And we're planning on doing that here in the first half of the month. We're working on a press release as we speak.
So is it going to help now that the state has this hotline staffed with about 40 people to take appointments for those vaccinations? You think that'll kind of clear up some of the confusion?
That's a good question. You know what? I guess it remains to be seen a little bit. That we haven't seen that hotline in use yet, but I think any effort is a good one. We are also planning for this clinic to have our local COVID hotline be able to take about 100 appointments over the phone, which didn't happen last time. Last time was strictly online, and we definitely heard from some folks that was a challenge. You know, we had a lot more people seeking appointments than we had actual appointment space. And I think that's still going to be true. It'll be a little bit better this time around because obviously we had around 1,100 people get vaccinated last month. So that took a little bit of the bite out of the demand, but it'll still be a challenge, yeah.
Well, it's good to hear that more vaccinations are on the way. Now, are these going to be initial vaccines or the second dosage for people?
Yeah, so these are all initial vaccines. We are additionally still planning our second dose clinic for people who got their first dose in January. So we're doing both. But these new 1,500 that we're getting in February are just new initial doses.
So I want to turn to Allison Gottslick a little bit. How did you feel that the vaccinations went, the mass vaccinations, once people got into them?
Yeah, I think I've heard really, really wonderful, amazing things about the clinic. I think it went really well. You know, public health nursing has done these large mass immunization events in the past. So we've got a lot of experience organizing them and running them. And this time we had a lot of really lovely, wonderful partners helping. We had CBJ and Bartlett and CCFR and the Red Cross. And so you know, it went really smoothly and really efficiently. And, you know, there were a couple minor bumps in the road that we'll be trying to improve upon next time. But the feedback that we've gotten from the public is that it was kind of a resounding success. And there's a lot of demand for more of those same types of clinics. So we're hoping to be able to continue those moving forward as well.
Well, that's a good feeling for people. It already, you can feel a sigh of relief as this is getting underway. One of the things that people have wondered about is, did we have many adverse reactions to this first round of vaccinations?
No. Yeah, sorry, Robert. I don't know if Robert wants to speak to that as well, but yeah, you know, The risk for side effects for this vaccine is still very, very low, is very minimal. And, you know, some mild side effects are normal and expected and common. And so there were, you know, a handful of mild reactions, which is totally expected. From our pod event, we didn't have any major reactions, you know, requiring medical care at all.
Well, I think that's going to help people stay on track to take advantage of the vaccination opportunities as they come. But I guess Juneau kind of did make headlines when it had one of the first reactions nationally to the vaccine. I guess that does happen. What are the circumstances in which that happens when you do get an adverse reaction, and how do you deal with it?
Yeah, so the severe rubber, excuse me, adverse reactions that people think about when they think about an adverse reaction is, it's called anaphylaxis, and it's sort of a immediate reaction your body has to something in the vaccine that can cause some difficulty breathing and elevated pulse and blood pressure and that sort of thing. And so, you know, it's really standard practice whenever you're giving a vaccine, whether it's a COVID vaccine or any other vaccine, that you have people hang out for a while afterwards and we monitor you and make sure that you're not going to have a reaction. And if you do, we're always really prepared for it. Everybody's got, it's treatable with epinephrine and Benadryl. And so make sure that we're prepared for it. It's very treatable.
So we have heard talk, Robert, that there's been a push to try to get enough vaccine to just vaccinate the whole city en masse. Is that even possible?
Well, it's certainly possible from an administration point of view. So we have the capacity between all of our partners in town, all the ones that Allie mentioned, and also there's many more, right? So we have a very healthy private sector that performs vaccine administration. Also, CIRCH has a lot of capacity to perform vaccine administration. So yeah, if we had the vaccine, we could do it, and we could do it pretty quickly. The limiting factor is the vaccine. And so we've definitely made it clear to the powers that be that, you know, if you want us to vaccinate the whole town, we can do it in a handful of weeks. We just need the vaccine. I think that there's a pretty big equity issue, though, with vaccine distribution. And I know that the state, decision makers at the Department of Health and Social Services and in the governor's office are very likely paying attention to, wanting to see vaccines occur equitably and across the phases and tiers that the Vaccine Allocation Advisory Committee has set up. I guess I would be surprised if we saw a huge flood of vaccine into Juneau soon, but we're ready for that when that day comes.
Well, that's always good to know, to be prepared. But so how are these tiers going to be set up? I mean, I imagine you still have a lot of seniors and vulnerable populations to address first.
Yeah, we do. So those tiers are set by the Alaska Vaccine Allocation Advisory Committee. And right now we are in phase 1B tier 1, which is a mouthful, but basically that's the tier that includes everyone who's over the age of 65. And then it always includes the earlier phases in tiers 2, and the earlier phase is generally the healthcare industry broadly, as well as individuals that live and work in long-term care facilities. So you're right, we do still have a ways to go with the phase and tier that we're in. We know that there is still much more demand out there than we'll be able to supply, even in February with these new 1,500 doses. That won't be enough to get us through the over 65 group that we're vaccinating right now. So I would expect that we may be moving into the next tier, the next part of phase 1B in March, and that includes frontline essential workers who are over the age of 50, as well as some other groups.
Well, one of the things that people are now worried about, you know, we had a story in the news recently that the new strain of the virus has made its way into Alaska, apparently more contagious. Are you surprised about that? And, you know, what are the ramifications of that? And I'd like to start with you, Robert, on that and hear from Allison as well.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. So one of the things that we know about the variants, so there's three kind of significant variants that the CDC is tracking right now. And the one that was recently detected at the state public health lab is called B117. And that's the one that started in the UK. And that particular variant we know to be, or we think to be, more transmissible, but not necessarily more severe. So it doesn't, we think, result in more serious outcomes for people. We also think that based on the data that that variant responds, or that the vaccine is still effective at catching that variant. And that those are really the big concerns, the big things that we look at with these variants are, is does the vaccine still work? Does it still work well? Are our tests still good at detecting that particular variant? And what does that variant mean from a transmissibility and a severity point of view? Those are the big things. And so the state public health lab engages in this, this scientific process called genomic sequencing, where they look at the all the positive samples that they receive. They analyze those and they look to see what strain of COVID is present. And it's that B117 variant that was recently detected. So it's kind of how it works. But I'm sure Allie has more to add on that.
Allie?
Yeah, thanks, Robert, for that explanation. He always does that so eloquently. I guess my take-home message when we're talking about these variants is that, you know, they are spreading faster than the original strain. And so, you know, it's really kind of time to double down on masking and social distancing yourself and hand washing and really taking those precautions. It's a hard message to hear after it's been the longest year of our lives. I think everybody would agree with me. And it's getting to be, you know, we're getting tired of the dark and the cold and the isolation, and we are getting fatigued. And so it's hard to hear the message that it's time to really double down on these protective methods. But it is, unfortunately.
Well, you know, people have, you know, for a while, COVID was trending down in Juneau, and Juneau was looking pretty good. Is that still the case?
Mm-hmm. And, well, we're starting to tick back up a little bit. So, again, yeah, we went down for a hot second, and now we're going back. We're creeping back up again. So, again, I know it's getting harder for folks, especially in the dark and cold winter, but it's the best that we can do to protect our fellow community members. You know, we take care of each other. We're Junoites, you know, it's our community, and we protect each other, and that's how we do it. Thankfully we have the vaccine, and hopefully we can get everybody who wants a vaccine one, you know, as fast as we can. We're trying really hard. But yeah, I'm rambling now. But essentially, it's time to double down, and surprising that variant is here, and it'll spread.
You know, one of the things that people thought was, well, with the legislature coming, all the aides, all the people that are drawn to come to Juneau for the session, that we would see an uptick. But you don't think that that's the cause, apparently, of this trend reversing.
Go ahead, Robert.
I can. Yeah. So no, we don't think so. So, you know, mainly the cases that we're seeing right now are in large family groupings. And so it's the spread that we've seen recently is when, you know, one family member gets it out in the community, generally via community spread. Generally, we're not able to trace that first one. And then they bring it home, and maybe they'll have a small family gathering or a family dinner together. And then that's kind of how we're seeing the spread right now. So we are definitely paying attention to the legislature, and we've been in close contact both with legislative affairs and their contractor, Beacon Health Systems, who is overseeing their screening and their testing operations. And they're pretty strict. We've been pretty pleased with their operating practices, and we stand ready to assist them too, and have from time to time when they've had a sort of emergent testing rapid testing sort of need.
Well, I guess they test every 3 days, which is the lawmakers and their staff. So, and many have told me they're reassured by that. They feel safer. So that's a good thing. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Robert Barr with the City and Borough of Juneau, and Allison Gotslick, a nurse and public health service manager. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And coming up, they say that necessity is the mother of invention. And how The Capital City and Fire and Rescue Department changed how their ambulances responded to calls to help hospitals better deal with COVID. We'll have that story. But first, we're going to hear another song from Tekla Waterfield from her COVID chronicle, Trouble in Time. It's called All Right.
It's hard to believe what's happening, waiting, wondering how bad can this be? Over and over, it's bigger. I'll believe.